When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is Nick Chancellor from Holistic Health Anxiety Coaching. I specialize in helping people overcome anxiety and reclaim their lives through a holistic approach that addresses the mind, the body, and spirit. I provide a personalized coaching to guide individuals to want a state of balance and well-being. Together, we'll work on developing effective coping strategies, exploring root cause, and implementing positive lifestyle changes. So let's say goodbye to anxiety and hello to life filled with peace and vitality. Let's embark on this transformative journey together. Welcome back to another podcast. Today we will discuss a topic on Hello. Welcome back to another day. It's been a wonderful day here on a Wednesday in Australia, and we've had some great weather, and it's been like rainy for the last 2 weeks, but finally the sun came back, and what a beautiful day it's been. Today has been a really good day to research. Had a chance to do a lot of things, and very productive in the area of coaching, and also a lot of other things in my personal life. So I thought today was interesting because I came across another fellow podcaster, and what caught my mind is the anxiety causing traumas and in relationships especially. And I thought I'd talk to that today, and how do we kind of heal from traumas caused by traumatic relationships led by our egos. When I say led by egos, we all have an ego. We all have a certain amount of narcissistic in us, and which is more direct, kind of egotic kind of attitude or energy flowing through us. And when one partner was narcissistic, where in a relationship where one partner is a little bit more narcissistic and very unconscious that they are, and want to admit that they are a narcissist, there's a lot of cause and effect there in their relationship, while the other one was a codependent and couldn't make too much clear decisions. So I want to talk to that. You know, I think it's there's a lot of people out there, and I'm going to try and do my best to explain a few things here. It's because a lot of us, whether know it or not, we're suffering, but we're getting this unnecessary kind of friction between partners and arguments, and our life is tough. I know that, and I sympathize with everyone, and I'm empathetic towards everyone trying to, you know, it's never going to be perfect, but at least we can communicate, and we're trying to get that interrelationship going, and getting to another level, as mentioned in the last podcast. And are you living a life of codependent, independent, or interdependent, where there's just purely a lot of conversation going on, and pure conversation where everyone has come to mutual ground, and there's so much wonderful talk and communication working their things out. So let's go talk to the topic here. So healing from traumas caused by traumatic relationships. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, the person causing more of the traumatized, who's causing traumatic, is traumatizing the other partner in relationship, are doing it. They even know that they're not doing it. And what's worse is that some that know they're doing it and they do it. So it could be conscious, unconscious or unconscious level. And they're like whether they know it or not, they're kind of just looking for energy, looking to control things. All there is total control, and they're like a feeding system. They need to feed on drama, because drama feeds on drama, and trauma feeds on trauma. Some relationships are caught, especially for the sensitive types or codependent, who haven't gone to a new level of awareness. A new level of awareness that they can lift them into more an independent life, because they just don't have the patterns or the experience to take them to a level until they really reached the body, where they really reached this kind of place where like they know they're in a lot of pain and they need to make certain moves. And unfortunately, it's like putting two lobsters in two different pots. And one is slightly, the temperature, the flame is slightly increasing, while the other pot is like really hot. And then when you just plop the lobster in the hot thing, it starts squirming and it says, I've had enough, I've got to get out, this is too much, this is killing me, and slowly killing each part of the body and the mind altogether. So it could be like that for some couples. And unfortunately, it's not easy to get out of this couple relationship. All I'm doing just today is really seeing that there's so much anxiety and stress in a relationship that's not coping too well. And you got to ask the question, shall I be in this relationship even? How do I get to be more independent? And if you go back to the last podcast, this is leading to the last podcast, living a life of codependency, independent or interdependent, and how do I get to change those levels of awareness? How do I grow as an individual to a higher level than I'm used to? I did bleed a little bit in my last podcast in that area, and so now I'm just going through like how can we just get rid of some of that torture, that self-torture, that trauma caused by in partnerships. I know we're all hurting, and how do we actually alleviate some of the pains and maybe find space to think this through. So I'm going to be sharing a method called the STOP method with you guys, the STOP method, STOP. We'll go into depth on that. And it's like, it's also saying like let it be or let it go, and not get too sucked into the energy or the feeding frenzy of a narcissist. And I have to admit, we all have a certain amount of narcissism. No one is from a child who's developing, we start building a slight bit of narcissism when we start rationalizing and getting things our way. And the cheeky part of us that wants their way or no way at all. So let's look at a couple of things that we can do. What steps we can take is a few steps that we can look at to help us heal in the process, or actually identify this kind of the things that we're into, like the traumas of our lives and in a particular relationship. I won't go into my past relationships. but I can say there were doozy ones, and part of it is because part of it was my fault. So one partner was actually had more high expectations of the other. I think if I dropped down my expectation those days, we all learn, and we're all mirror images of ourselves, and there's certain reasons why we love being in a relationship, and when now we don't mind it if we're not so much in entangled in a particular relationship. So those days were interesting, and I think everyone and love everyone that's been in my life, all my past partners and who have showed me the way and who've healed me, who've healed me, because that part of me was really egotic and really needy and really codependent, and which is really interesting. So my point is all about anxiety. So how do we just like not have to become so anxious in a relationship? And I'm probably talking to a few people who have just arrived and who are probably in a relationship, and it just doesn't feel right, you know. It feels a bit too ill, and I know some of my close friends who are in relationships, and even some close ones to me who are in relationships, and they're finding it, you know, always antagonizing each other and always resenting and not letting that go, and just living always in what of what could have been instead of what is today, and how we've fallen through, you know, the gaps of life between the cracks of the surfaces, and how we fell through. But anyway, let's look at the acknowledging the trauma. Let's go with acknowledging the trauma, recognizing and accepting that we have experienced trauma, or you have experienced trauma, and that you understand its impact on your well-being. So everyone has experienced some sort of, whether emotional, physical, and this can be a crucial step in starting the healing process. Unless we acknowledge, I think with everything, with anxiety, unless we acknowledge and become aware that we have anxiety, there's anxiety in a particular relationship, and it's causing me certain trauma, which I can't even function at work. And so some points I'm thinking, I was so lucky not to get sacked at work. You know, there was times if I was the CEO of the company, and that to tell a few lower managers to look at Nick, and it's time to tell him to go, because he's actually, even though Nick's a great worker and efficient and back in the old days, I would have actually, if I was in that high management position, I would have said, Nick, can't keep you on here. You're not focusing on the job. You know, this is what happens when you go into trauma. You're not actually focusing, and all your attention was like, you know, on the trauma and the dramas caused and the crazy making and so on. I wouldn't even hire myself. Eh? I wouldn't hire myself, come to think of it now, because I, but you know, there was a guardian angel looking after me, the people who kept me on the job and were pretty nice, lovely people, and coming to think of it now, they're really good to keep me on, even though I was traumatized but you know, I can't blame anyone, because I was also causing trauma and drama. So we're both into the same game when two couples are getting into their heads, and words can be powerful and very, very powerful, very hurtful. So I like to say, just acknowledge the trauma, maybe, you know, things, and accept that, you know, relationships do have some sort of trauma and the impact of them. Unless we understand this, we cannot heal, and we cannot, you know, we cannot heal. We're always caught in the cycle and the treadmill. The next thing is like, okay, there's like relationship coaches out there. Reach out to trusted friends, family members, life coaches, anxiety coaches, and different types of therapists that can provide a safe space. You know, sometimes you need a safe space, a safe haven, to move away from the drama. And I don't feel sorry for people at the moment who are kind of living within a caged space. I repeat that, because like two lions going off each other, right? And it's not a good space to be when there's two people really energized, negatively energized in a space and nowhere else to go. I know some of you guys would have said, well, I've got to leave for a bit. Maybe you disappeared for a couple of days just to get off the space, get off the kind of thing. And then you're too much involved in upkeep of your, in your space. Like, probably you might have a mortgage and you might have a few kids, and yeah, it's an interesting cycle now. What do I do now? How do I make decisions to leave this particular relationship? How do I heal from the relationship? And how is this relationship worth keeping? And is it still going to keep me traumatized? And that's not a way to lead a life. And life is short, life is precious. So yeah, there's plenty of things you can do. There are plenty of things to do. You can, you know, reach out to a life coach or anxiety coach or a relationship coach who handles this kind of thing, or counselor even better, just to give you some ideas. And maybe visit a relationship coach is pretty good. Get a third, if that other person, your partner, is willing to sit down and do that. Sometimes they'll tend to fight that off and thinking they're above that and that I need that kind of, to be consulted. They won't even give that a chance to happen. Next thing we can do, we can educate ourselves and learn about, you know, the traits of narcissism, codependency, and the effects on relationships. So if I was a codependent, what does it feel like to be a codependent? And how do I get into independent and interdependent? So I kind of go on with the last chapter, 141, episode 141 goes into detail into the ways of... Into the nuts and bolts of the facets of codependency and how difficult it is to actually make decisions, and the effects on our own relationships and also ourselves, and just kind of we must all understand the dynamics at play when can kind of really help us to gain a clarity and perspective on what we have experienced so far. Another big one is set boundaries. It's important to set boundaries, establish healthy boundaries to protect ourselves. Sometimes it's best just to have some time out, move away from that relationship for a while, get a clear head. Because while you're into that space in that field, there's no clear head. There's just turmoil and there's just self-harm. Not only is that, it's very harmful. So this might involve distancing ourselves from the narcissistic, egotistic kind of individual who's creating and then create space for our self-care, self-healing, and self-nourishment, and just find a calmer space to go to. It's usually a better way. I know a few friends and close family who would just pack up a few things and just move out just to get some peace and air, and then because they need to carry on their own job the next day to keep a job in the same state. Relationships are not easy, my friends, not easy, but I take my hat off to those that have the communication skills to keep it alive. But anyway, let's look at practice self-care and engage in activities that kind of promote self-nurture and well-being. So what things can we do? Now, this can include like exercise, meditation, journaling, pursuing hobbies, spending the time, investing some time with supportive people. Okay, so we can do all that kind of thing. So what is it that you do for exercise? Someone just needs a clear head that way. So what about process? Then we can also process our emotions, allow ourselves to feel and process the emotions that arise from traumatic relationships. This may involve journaling, therapy sessions, encouraging creative outlets such as the art of music, all these kind of things. And anxiety, this is also another key way to get rid of some anxiety and if you find your partner is not allowing you or criticizing your journaling or reaching out to therapists, even asking your partner to come along to a relationship therapist. you know, to consult both of you, and sometimes to listening from a third person is enlightening and also can be very, very wise and educational. How about we look going to challenge negative self belief? Now, this is important because traumatic relationship have this thing, have this can often kind of leave individual with negative self perceptions, ingrained habits, like mental habits. It's like chiseling away, creating a record, you know, creating a record with the same grooves, and it's difficult to change a record. Sometimes you need to just put a put a screwdriver through the grains of the record and bust the whole thing up, bust the program that we have been instilled by narcissist, and rewire our brain, and use these tools to actually help us get through it. So work on identifying and challenging these negative ingrained like a record ingrained beliefs, and replace them with more positive and empowering thoughts. That's something we need to think about. There were moments where I remember that I was circulating around a past lover of mine, and I knew kind of where they lived, and every time I drove past them, and I could see their car, and I can also, you know, even that car kind of caused me trauma as I passed that car, their car, even the thinking and the thoughts kind of brought me back. So, and you know, no one's to blame, and it's just we just create records in our minds, and it's not easy. In time does heal, but it's not easy to get rid of that particular energy. It takes time of healing, but we need to replace it with love, forgiveness, and no one's to blame, no one's to shame, and that's it. But if we keep blaming, shaming, then we're resenting, and when life gets a bit down, a bit tough, we're always going back to this particular cycle of mental torture, usually to ourselves. And also, I just want to sort of come off the topic a little bit. I remember Dr. DeMartini once said that, I love that what he said, you know, where every time you project a thought, a negative thought, or a positive thought, but more let's call it traumatic thoughts, uneasy thoughts. Every time you project that thought into the ether towards that person that you have resent for or hate, or you feel like you've been mistreated, and you know the ill feelings. You know that that fragmentate that this particular projection towards that person starts searching for that person in the ether, and somewhere out there. And I love the way it said, he says that then it splits itself up, fragment. There's a fragmentation, so it can create a further search in the ether, amongst the universe, amongst the quantums, it's fragmentation. Eventually, it catches that particular person, and it hits that person, and they feel that your hate, your resent. But what generally happens is that you actually hurt. Well, you actually hurt yourself in the process, because in the end, whether you know it or not, we are one. So every time we hurt somebody, we actually hurt ourselves. It's like a boomerang that just comes back and gets it and smacks us right on the head, whether we know it or not. So I thought I'd throw that one into the package, and let's go moving on. Another one called the cultivate self-compassion. This is nice to be able to be kind and gentle with yourself throughout the healing process, and practice self-compassion by acknowledging your progress and allowing yourself to kind of heal at your own pace. Yeah, with forgiveness and self-compassion, kindness is our key is to keep an open heart. Only through an open heart, my friends, can you actually heal your heart. And, you know, only through an open heart. Everything's about open hearts. Keeping your heart open, no matter what traumatic things you have. And some of them you just need to let it go, or dare to let it be when you get hit with that, when you get hit and with that trauma. Just make space, best thing to do. So, and straight away go into your self-compassion even for that person. How about that? In compassion even for the trauma that person's creating in your life. I don't want to say the word narcissist. It's overused, and I want to let you know that we're all narcissists, but to what level, you know? Because of our lack of understanding, because of our unconsciousness, because of our friggin' patterns that we've grown up with, we grow up without empathy. No one showed us how to be empathetic. Man, you never know. No one knows what that person has gone through in their life. But, you know, however, you don't have to deal with that person if you know the history of that person. So, yeah, we can be very, very compassionate about it. We're just here on this wonderful journey. And if you feel this thing, we do have options. But again, we all have to come back to our own grassroots and find out, oh, I'm so codependent. I need to come into this other stage of independent, and then live out of interdependence. So I keep saying that it's important, important part of what I'm going through at the moment. And sometimes I do get stung. Life will sting you all the time. It never stops. So I just want to say, celebrate, my friends, the moments that you're in harmony. Celebrate the moments you're in harmony, that you're healthy, that you're in positive thoughts, you're doing the right things, you got your coping mechanisms for anxiety, you know, it's all happening. Celebrate those moments, and then be resilient enough to when you do get those when you do get the trauma that comes back up. You know, it's like a boomerang that always comes back. Right, it's an Australian saying that we say, my boomerang always comes back. So be careful when it comes to celebrate the point now, and just be grateful, compassionate that you're not, if you are, you know, being challenged, okay. You know, we're going to be talking about the method shortly, how to think about the challenges that you're having. But at this point, like, you know what trauma feels like, you're healing from it, but you need to learn to step back from it. And change a few things around. So we need to be very patient with our traumas, and we need to prioritize wellness and well-being, and really seek some more information. Yeah, but not overloaded information, just ones that, you know, that are going to help you. And see the reality of what's going on. Now I'd like to go with the next question. It's like, why is it so important to acknowledge the trauma and understand its impact on our well-being when healing from traumatic relationships? I might repeat some things, but so if we acknowledge our trauma and understanding its impact on our well-being, it's really important. There's a few reasons, like, validation. Acknowledging the trauma validates our experiences and emotions. It tells us that you know, it's real, and it's we're experiencing the whole thing. I know many years ago when that trauma came into my life, you get traumatized quite often. And usually, yes, I was a very, very codependent person, and I could make decisions, and, you know, it was hard to make decisions. I felt trapped, and I could feel the moment, you know, from when you're really in really beautiful harmony, you're practicing floating all your life, to, you know, you become such a great avoidant, and you know how to avoid, you know, avoidance of trauma and any kind of pressure, any kind of stress. So you become a professional at just avoiding Yeah, avoiding stress, and you wouldn't have a bar of it, you know, wouldn't even, you don't want to know about it. So you become super professional, super avoidant. And sometimes that's not healthy also. But the point is, you knew that you're going to about to get set up for the fall. It's like you knew the darkness was coming over you. The trauma was about to come over you. The drama drama looks for more drama. It feeds on drama. You know, the ego is looking for a feed, and it normally feeds on the sensitive person who is codependent, or even halfway into the state in their learning of living, even half a independent. You know, and so it's that. So you know, you know what you went through, and you know that you can actually sense that darkness, that trauma coming towards you. You know it. You've been there many times, but we're not acknowledging it. You know, we let it go. We think it's normal. It's part of our life. We've dealt with it many times, but no. Sometimes we need to say, okay, I feel this, and walk away straight away. And if you're not being avoidant, you just don't want the dramas anymore. You don't want to get fused up, and that's the boundary we need to keep. And that, and, you know, that can actually empower us. So empower us to, and help us to start once again, to restart or continue with our healing. And then we can look at self-awareness, understanding the impact of the trauma on our well-being allows us to develop self-awareness. It helps us recognize how the traumatic relationship is affecting our thoughts, our emotions, our behaviors, overall functioning. This awareness is crucial in making positive changes and breaking free from negative patterns. So, yes, we have all these negative patterns ingrained and built into us, and it's amazing how we build from our partners, and yeah, we become almost one, or have become so similar in nature or not so. And also the programs that we are running at the moment, and we don't even realize we're running programs, and how and how it kind of affects us, our thoughts, emotions. Like I said with my job, it was just like I don't know how they kept me in the management job there, you know. And I don't know how they kept me. They should have got rid of me because I was going through a nasty relationship. Well, I'm not going to say no. It's all learning. There's no such thing as nasty. I'm not blaming. I'm not shaming. So it was a cool experience, and I'm going to just leave it at that. But otherwise I wouldn't be right. You wouldn't be doing this podcast if I didn't have any experiences, right? We're all here for experiences. And it's how we label the experience that makes the difference. I'll say it again. It's how we label the experience that makes the difference. So I love all my experience. I love all the traumas and all the disturbances. And now living into disturbance is actually powerful and builds strength and builds character. And only way through this, then we can move up to a more interdependent type of, relationship with ourselves and others. And then maybe we can kind of break free from those negative patterns that we hold. Not even the negative patterns, we not from that particular relationship, but even the patterns that we might be, you know, still working with, even through our past conditionings and parental, etc. And healing, let's look at another one, healing processes. By acknowledging the trauma, we can begin the healing process, allowing us to focus on the needs, as mentioned, set boundaries, and seek necessary support and resources. It's all there. Another one is breaking the cycle. Breaking the cycle. This is good. This is actually one of my other podcasts about ancestral conditioning. We go back a few podcasts on that, and we go in deep detail on that. So breaking the cycle means understanding the impact of traumatic relationships, why they're traumatic, and helps us recognize the unhealthy patterns and the dynamics that we're living with. This acknowledge can kind of empower us to break free from these patterns and avoid repeating similar experience in future relationship. Well, yeah, we can get caught out. Now, when we're talking about this, unless you recognize the trauma, unless you're living the trauma, unless you understand the trauma, you'll never recognize the trauma. And then you'll be repeating it. Are you the one who's causing the trauma? Or are you the one who's been traumatized? That's the question. Sometimes we cause a trauma, but we are not consciously alert on that, or kind of blindfolded. And because we're looking into we are living something that is familiar to us and always striking out to what is unfamiliar because it's boring or uncomfortable. And again, if you go back into unmasking self-sabotage in a few podcasts back, you can go deeper on that information. That's a break in the cycle of an understanding the impact of trauma. Empowerment means to be able to acknowledge the trauma and its impact on our well-being, and then we can position puts us in this position of empowerment, right? It allows us to take control of our healing journey, makes informed decision, and prioritize our decision making, and again, it's all about prioritizing self-care. I need to feel good. I need to do stuff that's going to make me feel good. I can make these decisions. I'm very independent now, and I need to be like that. And again, everything, if we understand it, and again, it also helps us all develop a resilience, and you know, we can all build a stronger sense of self. Again, which level are you at? You know, are you still codependent? Are you independent? Are you interdependent? And independent means you can work with your partner. You want to get to that level. You want to get that level of understanding without being tricked or manipulated to do things. And yes, we can manipulate ourselves or manipulate someone if we understand their kind of where they are on the conscious level, and where they are, you know, in the state of independency and or codependency. So building a support system, you can share the experience with people and trusted friends. It's always good to chit chat. Okay, it's always to get it off your chest. It makes you feel better. So find where you can, you know, be validated and where you can get some empathy and where you can find some guidance. And So that's important to do. Now is the time to talk about the method of how does a stop strategy, STOP, work to heal our traumatic states. And what I mean by stop is recognize the trauma and just stop it. Don't need to feed into it or be fed into it. And T is for thinking on what's happening or about to happen, and always observe. Observe our reactions and other reactions around us. What's going on there? What's happening there? And proceed with caution, and no need to add fuel to the burning fire. You know, sometimes we are so responsible ourselves, and we can have some control of it. You know, once we know how to connect, acknowledge it, we have some control of it. So we don't put fuel on the fire. In a relationship, traumatic relationship, we're always putting fuel on the fire. Nobody wins, nobody wins. So once again, if you're feeling that you're having a hard time and you need to talk to somebody, I'm all here. So I'd love to hear more about how you're going and whether I can assist with this. So let's go on with the stop it. Let's go look at the stop strategy a little bit more, highlight the stop strategy. It's like you looking at the stop sign. You know, you're driving a car and you have this stop sign in front of you. There's a line there. And once you go beyond this line without thinking, you're in trouble and you can have an accident. Simple as that. And if you're absent mindful to the stop sign, you can have an accident. So let's not have any more accidents and really dig into what the stop strategy is. It can be a very helpful tool in managing and healing this traumatic states that you might be in, or all that stuff. So let's look at how it works. Okay, so number one, the stop. Stop itself, S-T-O-P. Your first step is to pause. Is to pause and stop whatever you're doing or whatever you're experiencing. And this is important because it allows you to create a moment of stillness and prevents yourself from getting caught, you know, in the intensity of the traumatic state. By consciously stopping, you can gain a sense of control and create a space for healing. But we have to be conscious, learn to be conscious. Conscious and have the ability to say, stop it, or have the ability to say, whatever, right? Whatever, because you don't want to feed that thing anymore. It's feeding off you. You just say, okay, then let it be. Can you let it be also? Is another thing to, similar to saying stop. Stop me and stop that person. So that's a stop, the first thing, stop. Then we have the think. The think, the thinking part, T of the stop, the letter T, after stopping, take a moment now. You know, like take a moment to reflect on what is actually happening or about to happen. You know, this is the next stage. We've just gone over the stop line. Sometimes we need to go over the stop line, right? To have a bit of a look. If you're a driver, you know to go over the line a little bit because you could have a blocked vision. You need to see and be alert to what is happening. And we need to think this out. Am I going to get caught in this fire, in the crossfire? How much energy am I losing because of this traumatic relationship? Do you want to continue with this? So I need to think about this. But I'm not going to think if I'm caught into it, if I'm giving away my energy, because there's an energy sucker right behind me, you know, sucking up all my energy, you know, in this while I'm in this traumatic state, because that's been induced on me. There's no need for me. There's no need for me to be doing this. So yes, we need to think about it after stopping and take a moment to reflect again and what is actually happening or about to happen. Now this step actually involves bringing awareness to our thoughts, how we're emotionally feeling, and related to this traumatic state. Now by being consciously kind of thinking about the situation, you know, we can gain clarity, understanding about our triggers, reactions, and impact of the trauma on the well-being. Anyway, what an experience. Let's not feel this. Let's just call it an experience. Can we kind of agree to that next time we feel traumatized? It's an experience that we can actually be the observer. Practice that. This formula, STOP, allows you the capability to become the observer. Not to get sucked in and not to go fuel it up, not to put more fuel on the fire. No need to do that because your game or my game is totally lost. And it's like a game, but it's a serious game. And it's causing a lot of friction in our body. It's causing a lot of, you know, it's engaging the what? It's engaging the cancer cells in our body. You know, because our thoughts, you put happy thoughts, you live longer. If you put shit thoughts in our mind, no good. It's only killing ourselves. And no wonder before you know, we're visiting doctors and taking all sorts of things and all sorts of prescription drugs and whatnot. And then we go into this pit hole of depression. Let's not go there. Let's stop that. And so let's go back to, you know, by consciously thinking, go back to the thinking part. Okay. By consciously by consciously kind of thinking about the situation, we can gain clarity, understanding what's going on about our triggers and how we can react, you know, respond more than anything. We learn to respond rather than react and get caught out by the reaction and the impact of the trauma on our well-being. Let's look at the O on the stop sign, right? The O, which means to observe. Now, once you have like identified, once we or you have identified your thoughts and our thoughts and emotions, then we can be able to shift our focus to observing, not only on yourself, but also the reactions of others around you. What do you see? You're not involved in this, right? You're beyond that. You become interdependent. You're not involved in this crossfire. And this step involves like paying attention to your body sensation. You can feel it. You can feel that, you know, and step away, move away. You know, it involves paying attention to your body sensation, behaviors and environment, and observing. And by observing, you can gain insights and, you know, into how the trauma is impacting you and those around you. It helps. It helps develop a deeper understanding of the dynamics at play. You don't need to feed this thing. No. So, yeah, we have choice, so we can do that. Now we got the proceed, the P part, S-T-O-P. Proceed with caution, my friends. Proceed with caution part. This final step is to proceed with caution, right? What are you going to do? This means making a conscious choice. Now, here we go. Making conscious choice is the ability to make decisions and choice to respond rather than impulsively to traumatic state, you know, then react to this impulsive energy that you're going to get caught into, right? And if you, unfortunately, some of us are well too kind of sunk in there. We will also have this, don't forget that if you've been traumatized and you've been actively, you know, if you had this happen in your family and the partner you have had it in their family, well, unfortunately, you've got this ingrained behavior going on, whether you know it or not. So this is where you need to work on, where the record I mentioned is so ingrained and it's going its own way, and you need to put a screwdriver right in that thread of that record and really, really redevelop and rewire the brain, because it's a mess in there, and messy, and all you know is how to be traumatic. That's it. Your record is so traumatic. My record was so traumatic, I didn't even know it. You know, it was just going on its own way. But now, you know, when I've exercised the, you know, I can feel, you know, I can use some caution, things are a bit different. And by proceeding with the caution, I gave myself the opportunity to respond in a way that is mindful and intentional rather than being caught in the crossfire and burning brighter in that thing. Why give it all your energy? It's only consuming energy. It's causing unhealthy blood cells. And there's more in epigenetics there. And if you want to go and study epigenetics, by all means, go and find yourself a lot of stuff in epigenetics. It involves kind of also choosing actions and behaviors that are aligned with our healing and well-being. So rather than adding fuel to this fire, right? So let's move on a little bit. So the stop sign, the stop strategy, provides a framework of self-awareness, reflection, conscious decision, you know, making in a face of, you know, in the making of traumatic states, and it helps us break the automatic and often harmful patterns that we recognize that don't have, that can be so perpetuate to trauma, you know. Yeah, so even I remember those days just working under the management team and under the framework, and I would have sacked myself because I was not functional, because I was too traumatized. So yeah, no matter how hard I worked, still I was unfunctional, and it was very harmful for me to be there, and I should have just gone, got some counseling instead of, you know, working the grind and being caught in the grind and working with those harmful patterns that, you know, those traumatic days. By implementing, you know, by really taking notes of all these strategies, right, you can practice them and create this space for healing and self-care and growth and you know, it's also very, very important to note that the stop strategy is just one tool among many in healing journey, and seeking help from other counselors and so on is very necessary to, you know, so the relationship doesn't grow to something that should not be there. And before you know it, you'll have police officers knocking on your door. And at this point, my friends, it's time to bail out. when you have to call a police officer to bail you out. All right, so being the end of this podcast, inspired again also from another podcaster on traumatic relationships and living with a narcissist, and or being aware of a narcissist that you might be living with. So again, it's my whole rant was all about the anxiety, anxiety involved in living with this kind of relationships, and it's maybe time to build on and go to the next level and become more independent and decide more things that are going to be much more better for your well-being. All right, my friends, this is Nick Chancellor here from Holistic Health Coach for Anxiety. Hope this has helped someone. If you feel like someone needs to hear this, someone's going, a family, a friend is going through the situation or being traumatized, and maybe it's time for you to reach out to me, and I'm happy to help. I'm going to leave my calendar, also you can join other groups like from Anxiety Trend Tranquility on Facebook groups, and hopefully we can connect again. So all the best, and until next episode. Namaste, my friends, and may you have a calm, gentle, easy week ahead.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.